Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Inspire Church Albany podcast. We pray that these messages will inspire, encourage, and challenge you to take that next step in your journey. Enjoy our new theme, Faith Plus Action.
First off, I want to say thank you. I think it's pretty cool for, first off, the band. We do these youth nights, and they're great. You wouldn't be able to tell, but some of those people weren't youth. I know, it's crazy. But yeah, flipping, our creative team is being hammered right now, so send some prayers their way. They're in desperate need. We had injured people up there. Had some people that couldn't even see in the dark. Not that we're keeping score or anything. Send some prayer their way, because they are an amazing team. They spent the night to come out here and do worship for the service. And, I mean, it's not even like they had a great speaker to do it for, so. Oh, you guys are too supportive. That's why I roast you guys more than me, because you guys actually, it's funny for you for some reason. You guys must not like yourself too much. But after today's talk, I'm sure you'll be loving yourself. So we've got a couple things to go through. First off, who's liking our theme this year? Month? Not that I don't like the year one. Just don't ask me what it is. Till a couple of days ago, you probably shouldn't have asked me what the month one was. I was thinking it was, I got told it was faith in action, and that was messing with my head, because it's like, is it the faith in our action or the action in our faith? Because when you break down the words, it gets kind of complicated, and then I look at it and it's a plus. Faith plus action, like, that's good, but that's also another thing. If you're wondering, I'm just saying it's faith and action, just because then I can break it up. It's a lot easier. It's good stuff. Now, first off, like, when you look at me, do you guys see it? Actually, this is my brother's old T-shirt he never wore. It's also like the first time I've worn a non-black, white, or gray T-shirt in yonkers. I also occasionally wore a blue one. So it's not a T-shirt. No, I've always worn this. It's a good watch. I like it. Good for running. Shoes? No? Oh, you charm, Elisa. Not quite that. I feel like you guys are preaching to me now. Such an encouraging church. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to be honest. I was kind of going an entirely different direction with this little segment. I was going with, I'm a pretty ordinary, average, not very impressive guy. I mean, I'm not saying that in a bad way, because quite frankly, I'm amazing. But you might perceive me as not amazing. It's crazy. Like, obviously, I'm not a pastor, first off. I did kids' church coordinating. I'm not doing that, so I can't really claim any off-rubbed holiness from that anymore. I'm not, hopefully not a student anymore. If my exams went well, which pray we do. I do running, so you could call me that. You know, I'm not hitting any department. I'm just like a humble youth leader guy. Occasionally help Zahn out. I'm pretty humble, if you didn't get that one already. But you might be asking yourself, I'm sure you're not, by the quality of my speaking so far. But on the off chance, yeah, you might be asking yourself, what does this 24-year-old guy who's middle class, fairly charming, fairly, you know, kind of going through life, done the classic school uni course, what has he got to offer me? Because quite frankly, I know some of you guys have been in your journey with God longer than me. Know for a fact some of you guys have faced harder things than me. I mean, what about us? I was the 2011 escape camp, escaperegio.com, Facebook, Instagram. Go look it up. I was saved then. Had a slow ascent into Christianity. We don't use the downwards here. Did my internship at church. That's a good one. That's one I could hold over you guys, but I learned humility there. So, I mean, like, I know a little of the theological stuff, honestly. I didn't go crazy hard into it, but I know my way around a Bible, you know. I could get to any book I need within, like, I don't know, 45 seconds or something. You know, I could tell you if it's Old or New Testament based on how it sounds, the name. I'm glad you guys are having a good time. But in all honesty, those all fancy words, Stephen. You're very amazing and impressive, but the real experiences, where the real results, where the real times your mettle is tested. And I'm not afraid to admit, honestly, you guys probably do have me beat in some of those areas. Easily. So why would you care about listening to someone like me? I'm just a humble humble youth leader, as we've gone over. Well, you might not, but for some reason I ended up on this step tonight. Some God-appointed reason I'm here. I'm here to talk to you guys about faith tonight. So it's a pretty simple subject. Well, at least I'm covering it simply. It's not very simple. But please excuse me. Internship only prepared me so much. And maybe you've heard it all before, but I want to try to give you another one. So this is student Stephen at the moment. First thing I always like to do when I'm doing was to be honest, I was a bit stumped. So I was just flicking through my Bible when I got to the end. So rifling through the pages, not necessarily always helpful, but did actually help me here. Do you know they have definitions at the end of your Bible? I always thought, you know, that's numpty. Like, everyone knows the meaning of words, surely. If you can read a Bible, you'd know, like, oh, one of them. I can't be bothered flicking through them now. But I was thinking, well, you know what? I'm going over faith in action today. Like, why don't I actually read what, like, my biblical definition tells me those things are? If you want to know, I read the ESV, the only true translation. NIV, get out of here. English Standard Version. I don't know, minor bookstore. Look them up. And I want to go through them because I think it's actually pretty important to clarify some terms. I'll get to that later. Faith. Trust in or reliance upon something or someone despite a lack of concrete proof. Salvation, which is purely a work of God's grace, can be received only through faith. Romans 5:2, Ephesians, yeah, you get that. The writer of Hebrew calls on believers to emulate those who have lived godly lives by faith. I think everyone knows faith. I don't feel like that probably gave you any big revelations, but I think it's good we at least get a concrete ground on like one of our two key words tonight and what I'm going to be teaching you. The more important one I was kind of interested in, which this is going to be a quick touch on it, probably won't touch for the rest of the sermon, but it's actions up there. I'm calling it works because there's no actions definition because it's a pretty obvious word, but works. Actions and attitudes, either good or bad. True faith in Christ will inevitably provide good works that are pleasing to God. Good works can never be the basis or meaning of salvation, which is grace through faith alone. So I liked that just because automatically it put me on a hierarchy of how these go in my head. So salvation, for those, I actually got the meaning. I won't go too far in it because I don't want to speak too much on salvation, because I do not want to lead anyone wrong there. But faith is our path to salvation. And just for the footnote, salvation good. Everyone good on that? We want that. That's faith. That's how we get it. Our works come from the outworking of our faith. If we've got a good, faithful life towards Jesus, we're naturally going to produce those. So they're more a production offset. Word. There's something that comes from our faith. So while works are important, I want to talk about faith. Nice and easy. Now, as I've mentioned, I did an internship. Did you hear? Made me pretty humble. And in that internship, we talked to different people throughout the church. We got to talk to great people. We got, you know, obviously Don. We had Wednesday mornings with him, Julia. We had all the times we didn't finish our work with her. Once had a guy who was actually a chaplain in the military, which was interesting. And we were just sitting there one day, me, Luke. I think Rona had probably come around at this point. And we're at this coffee table, and we had time with him, but to be honest, we had no clue what we were doing. But he had organized a question. He said, "Who do you reckon was the most faithful man in the Bible?" Now, taking a leaf from kids' church, you just say Jesus to any question like that. Then he hit me with the man caveat. Personally, in my head, Jesus kind of man, but you know, apparently not. So we went, "Oh, apostles, surely, you know." I was like, "Nah." It's like, "Oh, I don't know, Abraham?" It's like, not quite, probably not. And, you know, it goes, "Who was he?" And he tells me, "The centurion." And at that point, I hadn't got to Matthew in my Bible. I was like, "The centurion? Hit me up on that." You guys ready for the Stephen storytelling experience? If you want to read along, only if you have ESV. It's Matthew 8, 5 to 13. And while you're pulling that up, I'll just give you a little backstory. Jesus was doing Jesus things. People were hearing about it. They wanted Jesus things to happen to them. Let's continue. Verse 5, chapter 8. When he had entered, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." Did that, end of story. It wasn't the end of the story. Because while most people in the Bible, every Jesus story pretty much happens like this, this one had one exception that makes it important to note. Because the centurion replied, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does that." Which is a pretty good household to run, to be honest. Imagine if you could just say that and people would do it. That's kind of the military life for you. You get trained into being able to just react. You don't need to question it. You're under that authority. Now, normally, people wouldn't suggest to Jesus how to do his job. He's Jesus. Why would you? You know, flipping. He's Jesus. I'm not going to tell him how he'd do his job. The centurion, he had lived his life, been trained up. He knew the authority, and he knew Jesus was above him. This impressed Jesus. Because when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In this place, there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you have believed." And the servant was healed in this very moment. It's pretty important when Jesus calls you the most faithful person in Israel. Some manuscripts don't even say Israel, most faithful person in the world. Could you imagine having that title? You know, could you imagine just saying, "Yeah, Jesus called me the most faithful person" when you get to heaven? Like you meet the centurion in heaven, he tells you that. What do you do? Didn't get that title. Oh, he could have. I'm putting words in his mouth. The man seemed pretty on to it. Probably, I mean, I could even learn something from him. Might also learn something from me, though. I'm pretty humble. When you have this authority, but better yet, you understand how it works, you can understand the power your faith has. The centurion knew Jesus was something special. I'm not going to put too many words in his mouth. At the very least, he knew Jesus could heal his servant. And he knew that kind of power didn't mean Jesus had to come up to his servant, personally slap him, get him out of bed. He understood literally the mere words from thousands of k's away. Probably not that, that's an exaggeration. But like a decent distance, maybe. That was enough to heal someone. And you know what? Jesus liked that a lot. He had a full couple sentences about that. And in the Bible, Jesus only says so many words. Not to say he doesn't say a lot. But when he says words, we listen. Now, that's faith's impressive. And personally, I'd recommend we all try to live up to it. But it's not your name in the Bible that Jesus is saying is the best. And this is where I want to get to the meat of my message. I want to talk about faith. Have been talking about faith, so far it's been going good. But I want to talk about how our faith fails us. So using my big brain and proper analytical skills, I crafted up my own little faith failure categories, which, I'm not a pastor, so don't buy into it for a second. I think they hit the mark pretty well. And you guys might. I want to talk about, first off, the most natural enemy to faith. Anyone want to guess? I feel like it's that's a good one. It's not quite the one I want, though, but, you know. Hold up, I just got to make a note on that. well, I thought I heard it over there. Doubt, that's the one I love. I've always had a bit of a fascination with doubt. Just because I've always liked the idea that, I mean, I don't have a biblical basis for this at the moment. This is more just a quick detour we'll take. But you kind of need doubt to have faith. Otherwise, it's just kind of blind believing, which works for some people personally, I think. You kind of need to be tested in your faith, and doubt's really one of the main ways for that. But doubt. Anyone ever doubt before? You guys doubt how entertaining I'd be when I came up here? Nah, you guys expected this, eh? It's pretty natural to doubt, obviously, especially when you're dealing with something you can't explain, something which we can't define by faith doesn't have concrete proof. It's happened every time. And the Bible, the spies that ran into Canaan. Now, this was, of course, I'm going to piggyback off Ben here. Where is he, by the way? There he is. Flipping, he was telling us about Moses, and it was the parting of the Red Sea, right? Yeah? Okay, good stuff. So after that, they're obviously going through the wilderness. It's a pretty long journey. Most people aren't happy. They finally get to their destination. Good times. He sends 12 spies into this promised land called Canaan. Amazing place. Got milk and honey, and, you know, those are the times where that's actually an impressive thing, you know. Flipping, you don't just go down to the pack and save and Bethlehem and find it. Flipping, you find that land, you're like, that's mine, get out. Which was the plan? They seem pretty confident. So they come on down, oh, yeah, have a little look around. You know, they get some of the stuff because it's good stuff. Like, it's like, you ever imagine, like, the end of the world and you're just kind of going around somehow? It's a weird imagination I have. But you grab some stuff because it's cool. Of course, they also see, because good land tends to have already people on it, and they see these big people. It's like, at least they claim to be big. You know, they're also spies. They could have just been chickens. But they come in, see all these rewards that God's promised him, see a bit of a challenge that God's also said it's all good, it's fine, come back, and suddenly, there's good stuff there, but bro, like, there's some really tough people there, man. Let's think about this a bit more. Right then, they had the tangible thing right before them. They had it in their hands. They brought it to flippin' Caleb. I think that's his name in the verse. I could be wrong there. But still, they let that doubt get into them. God had told them, this land is yours. We're going to get it. I've told your leaders that this land is yours easily. You can take it. But the doubt crept in, stopped them from getting it just like that. You got to be careful of the doubt in your life. Just thinking my segue into my next super, super intelligent point. We're going to just go for the hard dive because the next one, and this is one that I'm most guilty of. So, I mean, I know that perks your ears automatically like a fault in Stephen. Oh, what could this be? Must be something great. You want to know, like, one of the honest challenges I have in my faith? Lean in a bit. Sometimes I am too humble for my faith. Honestly, sometimes I forget. It sounds dumb. You're like, what? But straight up, I've heard this is common for guys. Maybe I'll get some years from the boys in the house. You ever had an emergency happen in your life? And you just want that solution now? You just go, you know, it's great. All this drama's happening and whatnot. We'll fix it now. Why wait? Let's do it. I want to see the results. I'm like that. I'm so like that. It's crazy. I do not have the patience for anything. I pretend I do. I'll tell people, oh, it's all good. You know, let's just work it out. How are you feeling? All that. At that moment, in my head, 1,000 miles an hour, I am thinking of every possible skill I possess. And I possess a lot of them. A lot of them. I'm good with computers, which is like 90% of the workload these days. I have enough physical strength to move some stuff around. I'm a black belt in Shaolin Kempo. I'm a qualified diver. If there's some way to fix it, I can get it to happen. But now it's all good. How are you feeling? You see, it's easy enough with the big issues. I've got my little got like a little notebook with my, I do my devotions in, and I always make sure to put like bullet pointed prayers that I do for that day. And that, yeah, oh, cheers, Jesse. It means a lot when you say it because you're just so cool, Jesse. That sounds sarcastic, but I actually think you are cool, Jesse. That also sounds, but like I'm being genuine. You see, it's easy enough to put big objects in your life. Make sure that's in the prayer because that's what you're thinking about all the time. It's always there. And when you do devotions, which I recommend, I also sometimes get spotty on them myself because I'm not a pastor and I'm allowed to. But it's in those urgent moments when it's so easy just to go, fix, Stephen magic, that you can just forget, hey, why don't I shoot a quick prayer up to God? He's pretty good with this stuff. So that's my second thing. First, we had doubt, pretty natural. I mean, you know, I'd ask maybe if you guys have it, but let's be honest, you have it. I know people enough to know everyone doubts. Second one, forgetting. Like, I can imagine if some of you have that ability in your head to always turn to God first. It's been a challenge in my life because I'm really results focused. So I forget, and that's honest. My last one is just straight up not having the faith or the intent. I haven't really thought of a catchy title for it. But it's not quite doubt. I would say it's just the non-existence of any faith at all. And I haven't struggled for this one for a while, but it's not wrong if you do struggle with it. Because you can get some crazy tests of faith out there. Like, you just need to go to a prayer meeting sometimes and you'll get some crazy prayer requests. You'll get people like, lives are on the line. We need this prayer to happen. We've got all the experts telling us it ain't going to happen anyway. Prayer's the last resort. And there is, to be fair, I haven't had this, so this might be why I haven't felt the test in a while. But when you get in those situations, it's like, God, you know, I don't want to pray for this because if you had to ask me, I'm not sure. The more I talk about it, the more it does sound like doubt. So we'll just claim it as doubt. Bring it in. It's a good talk. No, I think doubt's an important thing to talk about in the church. I feel like there's a tad difference, but you need to give me a couple like days, weeks of big brain Stephen thinking to tell you what they are. And we don't have that. Unless you guys are keen. Yeah. Yeah, joke. Anyway. We all have situations where we don't want to pray, to be honest, because we don't want to get let down. I'm saying we. I could be wrong. Maybe you're good like that. I'm not. I try to be good, and I'm getting better at it. But it came down to a couple things when I thought about it. First off, I think we've got promises from God and the good stuff. But personally, I try to keep my expectations of wanting stuff from God low. And like, there's probably a better way I can phrase that. But I don't want my relationship with God to be one where it's kind of like I want to get more stuff from him. I kind of want more from God, you know, in that relationship way, not me profiting way. So I try to keep my mind that way. And then it comes down to the fact, like, even if it's a hard one, there's very little reason to try and have faith anyway. There's very little reason to, what's the word I'm looking for? Not try your best to have faith in it anyway. Like, the only exception I'd say is if it's something that's not godly. So, like, you know, there's the crazy prayers like, God, I hope I win the lotto, or God, I hope I get $10 billion in a nice house and all that. And, like, you could pray those. Personally, I don't think they're going to happen. Might. I don't think they will, just because it's not really a godly progression to just giving you a bunch of stuff because you prayed and had faith over it. Like, when I look at the Bible, it tells me I'm going to be working my butt off and people are going to be hating me and, you know, I'm going to be killed for my religion. Quite frankly, this is what people be praying for in these places, a nice community, a big building, warm water. We're living the life as is. If I'm praying for like $10 billion for doing nothing, I feel like I'm probably praying to the wrong God. Try some other churches or something, but this church, we believe in the work we do. Not that they don't. I shouldn't be picking fights with churches. The churches are strong, unifying. We love God. At least try make it convincing, guys. I want to say this. This point got muddled. I do apologize for it. But it's okay to have faith in things. Can be a hard ask. If it's in line with God, do it. I'm just going to make that a rule in your life. Choose to ignore it if you want. But if you've got something you're wanting and it's in line with the way God does things, have faith. Might not be promised to you, might not happen in the way you want, but literally it's like of benefit to you. It either happens or you get your faith tested, which can suck, but you know, it's good for you in the long run. So go for it. Now, there's one last thing I want, because I want to talk about what faith has done. And I was reading through my Bible. I was trying to find some stuff. I looked at James, and then Jesse told me this morning he was doing James. So I went, I'll try to find something else. And I found Hebrews 11. I haven't been in any of the other services. I've been in kids' church. I haven't been skipping, I swear. So I'm not sure if they've been talking about this one, but by God, is this just the gold mine of stuff you can talk about? Let me hit you with some of these. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's like two columns of Bible long. luckily, it's just strong start. Every sentence. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was taken that he should not see death. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place and receive an inheritance. By faith, hold up. Sarah herself received power to conceive. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months. Like, honestly, have a look at this, because it's literally every other sentence is by faith something amazing happened in the Bible. You want to know what faith is capable of? I told you before, there's no downside to what it happens. You get your faith tested. But if you want to see what people have gotten by having faith, Hebrews 11 is, it's like the KFC of tantalizing. It's a bucket right in front of your face, and it's going, yo, this is what could happen if you have faith. Admittedly, you probably don't really worry too much about being hidden for 3 months or, I don't know, being able to conceive over 60. I can't judge. I don't know what you guys are up to. But there's a lot of good and probably impossible promises in there that happen, and the Bible pretty much just says it's by faith those things happened. I want to do a quick sum up before we get into the good stuff. Ben, if you wouldn't mind, please coming up. Because I really do like you guys. They sound amazing, by the way. Like, I don't need to have faith in the band. They'll just come through. But I have faith good things will happen to the band. I wanted to talk about faith. I think my message was maybe a little muddled. But I like to think I hit the key points around. First off, faith is pretty important. Out of this whole title here, I would argue it's the most important part. It's what we're going to. It's how we're getting to our goal of salvation. And actions, works, they're good. But really, we want to focus on our faith. And it's hard, isn't it? Good one hum yes from Zahn. Luckily, when people don't answer, there's about a 50-50% chance they don't want to be heard or they're just not listening. So I don't know, if I cut this audience in half Solomon style, there's probably a good amount of people agreeing with me. You can doubt it. You can forget it. It can just not exist in any place. But you're missing out on something in the human experience if you don't have faith. People can live their life without it. They can go through life easy without having faith in something. But sometimes you do need to take a jump. Sometimes you need to get into something that you can't bet on, that you can't prove, that you've got nerves screaming you that it's not going to work out. Sometimes there's an ask, and you got to take that leap of faith. I took a leap of faith at that escape camp years ago. I honestly hated God and Christianity at the time. I was brought up Catholic. My parents divorced. Catholics don't like that. And God was just an easy scapegoat to blame everything that I didn't really like in my life. Looking back on now, it's pretty silly. But, like, I didn't like it at all. I hated it. But on the floor of that, you wouldn't even really call it a hall. On the last day of 2010, I decided I'm going to give it a try. The speakers were quite good. Liked them. I liked the message. They did the altar call. And after that, we were just lying on the floor. And it's like, I just want you guys to focus on trying to talk to Jesus. And I was on this beach. Me and him are walking. From there on out, I kept going with this walk. It hasn't been great. I'm not a perfect person. I've made plenty of mistakes. I am not as humble as I've led you to believe. But if there's one thing I'm pretty proud of, one thing if you'll excuse me for not being humble.
It is my faith. I do believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe he died for my sins. I believe that I am loved and appreciated.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We encourage you to reflect on the sermon, listen again, and let us know what you got from it. If you want to hear more messages like this, click follow and feel free to listen to our previous sermons while you wait for our latest one. Have a great week. Be blessed.